That is the most popular part of book reading, I think, is holding it in your hand.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Definitely.
The page, the smell, all good stuff. One of the highlights of the week is sitting down with our independent bookseller of the week to discuss some great reads that they want to share with Roundtable listeners. So not to give too much away, I love these books. Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery is here to convince you that these are all winners, and she is very convincing. Amy, good morning, and welcome to the program. It's a delight to see you. Happy summer.
Good to see you, too. Happy summer to you.
Yeah, it's kind of a swelter. Today is a perfect reading day.
It is. It is. I think.
I mean, not that there is, you know, a bad day. But
no,
but
there's never a bad day for reading, really. Rain, sleet, snow.
Yeah. Sun. Yeah, whatever.
It's all good.
Where would you like to begin?
I want to begin with The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry by Rachel Joyce. Have you read this one?
I have not.
This is one you ought to read.
Okay.
Everyone really ought to read this. Harold Fry is a recently retired gentleman. He's in England, he and his wife Maureen, and he gets a letter one morning from an old colleague of his named Queenie Hennessy, and she tells him that she is dying of cancer, and she lives all the way on the other side of England, a good 600 miles away. And he very quickly, lamely struggles to write a response, and it's rather tepid, to say the least. And he seals it up, sets out to the post box to mail it, and he gets there and thinks, no, I'm not really, I don't want to mail this just yet. So he goes to the next post box and the next. And along the way, within this first leg of his journey, he meets a woman at a gas station, an attendant there. He goes in to buy a snack, and she tells him that she helped her aunt get over cancer by just believing that she could. And that just inspires him, this idea that you can have faith in something so strongly that it will actually happen. And so he takes it upon himself to believe that as long as he walks to Queenie's side, she will live. So he sets out on this, what becomes, a pilgrimage. And it's a wonderful journey. I mean, it's so delightful. And what's beautiful about it is in the very early stages of the book, Harold and Maureen's relationship is rather strained. And of course, the idea that this 65-year-old man whose extent of walking is from the house to the car is setting off on this journey. And when he calls home, Maureen is really not happy about the idea that he left and isn't returning. But it's lovely the way the book and their relationship sort of the distance doesn't actually push them further away. It pulls them closer together. And, of course, everyone he meets along the way. And it's wonderful. And I think this is the book of the summer / fall. I think this is the one that you want to carry with you. It to me, it felt a little bit like Forrest Gump in that when I watched the movie, I haven't read the book. I'm sorry to confess that, but it's true. I thought, well, that was very nice.
Yes.
And it was fine. And then it just stayed, and he stayed, and everything stayed. And it just sort of takes you over. And I think this book has that same, it's very nice. It's hopeful. It's heartwarming. And it stays with you longer than you ever expected it to in the most wonderful way possible.
The book is out today. It's called The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. It's by Rachel Joyce and published by Random House.
The next one I want to talk about is Jerusalem Chronicles from the Holy City by Guy Delisle? Delisle? I'm not entirely
Delisle
sure.
Delisle is how I...
Okay, that was how...
You had me at that.
Okay, good. Sorry for the mispronunciation. Yeah. Multiple pronunciations.
Well, it could be Guy, too. We don't even know about that, actually.
He's an acclaimed graphic memoirist, and he hasn't written a book in about 4 years, but he has really come back with a bang with this one. And I actually want to read from a review from one of our staff members, Esther Willison, who writes about this really beautiful book. Not only is it intricately and deliciously graphically, obviously, expressed his ideas, but the very basic text of it all. DeLisle's descriptions, both in words and pictures, enlighten the reader about the different cultures living side by side in Jerusalem. The conflicts, the fears, the anger, the humor, and the warmth of family and friends. It's an overall view of what life is like in the Middle East and a very moving portrayal of what life is like in that sacred city. And if you look carefully at the details of his drawings, you'll discover much more about Jerusalem than words could ever tell you. It's a personal account of DeLisle's own time, his year spent there, with his sensitive observations, his uncanny naivete, and his honest surprise at some of the harsh circumstances surrounding him there.
Wow.
It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Please pick this up and read it. You won't be disappointed.
Jerusalem Chronicles from the Holy City.
And the next one I want to talk about is The Violinist's Thumb by Sam Keen.
This is great.
It's so cool.
I have read this, and he's going to be on the show next week. And
excellent.
We're looking forward.
Excellent. The subtitle of this really kind of sums up what the book is about, and it's The Other Lost Tales of Love, War, and Genius as Written by Our Genetic Code. And it's fascinating. So much of what we do and who we are is really within our physiological structure. And what I like about this, too, is he does make the distinction that DNA is not the same as your genes. Your DNA actually makes up your genes. That's the code within the larger scope. It's kind of like the rectangle and square. Every rectangle, every square is a rectangle, but not every rectangle is a square.
And what's fascinating about this is he can write this and you know what the hell he's talking about.
Absolutely. It's wonderfully accessible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he makes it palatable, the science, through anecdotes and history. And so you've got all these wonderful stories that back up all of these notions and ideas. And it's really cool. And I think just the story of the man who survived both the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings is pretty remarkable. He got off. He was in Hiroshima. The bomb went off. He got on a train, went to Nagasaki, and the bomb went off. And he lived until the year 2010. Unbelievable.
It's pretty incredible.
It really is.
He wrote The Disappearing Spoon.
Yes.
And it's just great stuff.
Yeah.
And this is called The Violinist's Thumb by Sam Keen. And I did misspeak. We're taping next week, but
okay.
he'll be on sometime.
Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Early August. I'll leave it that way. Early August.
I think he's one of the most fascinating sort of layperson's scientific writers. He's just great.
Good stuff.
It is.
And I love this next book, too.
Yeah, The Beyond the Blue Horizon.
Yeah.
By Brian Fagan. This is how the earliest mariners unlocked the secrets of the oceans. And again, this is something that I wouldn't have ever really thought about, the idea of how and why people first set sail. Not only like the big expeditions and explorations, but the simple, like the, you know, setting out on your kayak, your sealskin kayak up in the Great North for food, and how those vast, you know, ends of the earth, right? When in the olden days, and people didn't know beyond the land, and to take that brave step and journey forth into the unknown, it's fascinating. It's wonderful. Again, quite accessible. And I think anybody who has that interest in the sea and getting out there and being out there, sometimes I'm just amazed that people still do it, given the fact that even people who surf, right? How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you get out there and you see these 30-foot waves coming at you and you could be safe right there on land? You don't have to go out into it, but they do. They venture forth.
You know, in a way, and not to say that it's the same thing, but Liz Winstead was just talking about taking those first steps on stage as a comedian and just not knowing what to expect and the terror. But to sit on the or to stand on the shore and to look at the horizon and say, I'm going to go beyond that.
Yeah. Or even to that.
Yes.
How do you?
I'm going there.
It's...
And I don't know what's on the other side
no.
of that, but let's find out.
Exactly. And when I also think about those great ocean shows that they've been, like Blue Planet and all of this, it's like this alien world that lives in these waters. It's completely foreign, some of these creatures. I mean, the cuttlefish alone. What? What is that? I can't believe that exists on planet Earth. And yet it does. And so these people, for survival and commerce and, you know, community, and what a... what a brave and wonderful and really lost art form it is to be able to find your way in this vast nothingness with the stars and compasses. And it's
and he writes beautifully. He's
yes.
a very good writer and a scientist and a historian, but a great writer. And the thing that I think is interesting that he makes the point of, you know, how even today, if we were to do this, it is an accomplishment. It is amazing. But here are people who went on to that winds and tides and stars.
Yes.
That was all secretive. We didn't know what that was. And that was really their roadmap. But they weren't really sure what it was yet.
No.
It's
pretty
incredible.
It really, really is. And yeah. I think we take for granted how sort of easy our voyages are nowadays. Think how many people take cruises. Really, it's fascinating.
Beyond the Blue Horizon by Brian Fagan.
Okay, next one I have is my young adult pick of the week, and it's Shadow and Bone by Leigh Bardugo. Holy mackerel, this was a good book. Really, really good. This is the story. It's a fantasy, but it's not an unreachable fantasy. There are those that just get too odd for my taste, and this one is still very accessible. It has a very Russian influence in its sensibilities and in its language, those made-up languages. But it's this country that's been troubled by war for hundreds of years, and there's this blank dark space that cuts through the center of it, and it's called the Shadow Fold, which is a nearly impossible place to cross. But it's essential because you can't get, if you live inland, you can't get to the ports, you can't get your food, you can't get your supplies that come from there unless you do cross it. And so that's the overarching story of that. But it's really the story of Alina and her best friend Mal, and how their relationship, they grew up together as orphans, as wards of a duke, and then they went off to war together, and she inadvertently saved her life, and then was whisked away from him. And then it's sort of their separate lives. And it's beautifully, beautifully written. I can't tell you enough. I think there's a vast number of young adult novels that are exceptionally well written that are unheard of, and this should not be one of those. So please read Shadow and Bone. You won't regret it, I promise.
Published by Henry Holt.
Yes.
And finally, for the kids.
Yeah, Red Car, Red Bus. It's really cute. It's a very simple little story. I love it because what it does is it just follows this bus.
Oh, it's a long book.
It is a long book. It's more of panoramic
not
book.
I mean, physically long.
It's panoramic. And so what it does is it starts off with a bus at a bus stop and people get on, and then the bus is followed by a red car. And then more people get on and some people get off, and you get to see this sort of various little journeys and various cars that follow in behind, and the text is incredibly simple. It doesn't tell the story. The pictures, however, do, of who gets on and where they go and sort of the lives that people lead. It's lovely, very lovely for the very, very wee ones in your life.
This is very cute.
It is.
An American did not write this book.
No, they didn't.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at the...
the pictures are not American.
Looking at the sound or the signs.
It is a British...
This is not a...
British publication.
No American did that. awesome. That's really cool. It's Red Car, Red Bus by Susan Stegall.
Yes.
We'll say?
Yes.
You can find out more information about all of these wonderful books by going to the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady and see the great work that they do. Go browse for hours and hours and hours. You can also go to their website, opendoor-bookstore.com. But as I said, better yet, visit them right on J Street in Schenectady. Amy, a great pleasure to see you again. I hope you have a wonderful summer, and we look forward to having you back very soon.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.